We are up to Perek Gimel, Pasuk Zayin, Pasuk which is perhaps the central pivot upon which the entire Chag of Purim is based. Pasuk doesn't seem all that exciting at first, but when we're going to see what the Gaon says about it and how he explains it, we'll see that this is really the soid of the entire Yom Tov of Purim. So the pasuk says like this: B'chodesh Rishon, in the first month, Hu Chodesh Nisan. Chodesh Nisan, which, as we know, is considered the first month of the year. B'shnas 12 LeMelech Achashverosh. It was already the 12th year of King Achashverosh's reign. Which, just to bring it into focus, means that, remember, we started the Megillah, it was the third year. So 9 years have passed, although it's only been a couple of prakim, but it's been 9 years since the beginning of the story of Megillah's Esther. Vashti is long dead. Esther has been ensconced in the Malchus already for over 4 years. And at this point, Haman has risen to great power. As we said, that Gidal HaMelech Achashverosh has Haman, he built him up. And he was very angry at Mordechai. In the previous Pesukim, it spoke about it. He got angry at Mordechai, got angry at the Jews because he wasn't bowing to him. But it was an old, eternal hatred. And Haman decided that he's going to do away with the Jews as a whole and Mordechai befrat. That just the previous pasuk says, "Ve'yavakesh Haman lahashmid eskola Yehudim, to destroy all of the Jews." Asher b'chol malchus Achashverosh am Mordechai, because they were the nation of Mordechai. So he had a double goal over here: to get rid of Mordechai individually, but also to get rid of the Jews as a nation. Now, how is he going to do this? So it says, "Hipil pur," he threw a gyrel. He threw a poor. Sorry, he threw a poor. What's a poor? We don't know what a poor is. So the pasuk continues and says, "Hu a gairel." That's a gairel. Lefnei Haman, in front of Haman. All of these are very strange. We'll ask the questions in a minute. Miyayim liyayim, from day to day, umechodesh lechodesh. He threw a poor that related to the days and to the months. And it ended up coming out on Chodesh Adar. Okay? So here we have a pasuk which seems to be simple, but really is quite enigmatic. First of all, who threw the poor? Now Rashi actually says, it's not so clear who threw the poor. The poor was thrown in front of Haman. Even though Kipshuta Ishal Mikra, Haman threw the poor. It says, on that day, Hippil poor, he threw a poor. The bigger question is, of course, what does the word poor mean? And what is it doing here? Rashi explains it that a poor means a gairel, and the pasuk is kind of translating the word, which is extremely odd, because why would we use a word that we don't know what it means, perhaps not even like Lashon HaKodesh, and then in order to explain it, say, well, he threw a poor. Oh, you don't know what the word means? Let me explain to you. It means a gairel. So then just say, hippil gairel, he threw a gairel. Why does it have to say hippil poor? So clearly, there is a meaning to the word poor, which is independent of the word gairel, and it's just that they relate to each other somehow. But one is not a direct translation of the other. Especially because it's very strange that we are going to call the entire Yom Tov of Purim based on this word poor, hippel poor. Now, it's a word we don't even know what it means and doesn't seem to have all that much importance that we have to translate it a second later and say, Hippil Pur, sorry, I meant to say Gairel. So then it should be called Chaga Goralot. But for sure, we should not have the word Pur because it doesn't seem to have any strong meaning of its own. Kipshutai. At the end of the Megillah, in Perek Tes Pasuk Chavav, we say clearly that it was called Purim, the Yom Tov is called Purim. Al kain kor layom ma'ela purim, al shem ha'pur, on the name of the poor which was thrown. So clearly, poor is of very great importance in this story here, whatever a poor is, which we're going to explain. And the final question I would ask, well, there's two more questions. One is lefnei haman, what does it mean it was thrown in front of Haman? Obviously, first of all, most probably he was the one who did the actual pur. That's what the Midrashim say. He was doing it himself. So obviously it was in front of him. And even if somebody else, he got some expert pur master to do it. But it was done in front of him because he was the person in charge. So what's the chiddush of saying lifnei Haman? What does that even mean? And the final question is, if we're going to ascribe some great importance to the word poor, that it's so important that we have to call the whole Chag after it, so it should be called Chag HaPur. Why is it called Chag HaPurim? And, you know, I'm not sure, I don't want to read the guy inside, I'm thinking about it. He writes it, but he's very short and not super clear. Maybe I'll just read a couple of words from him. He says, the Kara Purim was called Purim al Shem HaPur. Because that was the main part of the Ness. Okay, so here we find out that the Gaon learned this. This was the Iker HaNes, the poor. Shehu hipil poor, goyrol lefi hamazalot, be'eze yom yochel entzachotam, which day he could conquer the Jews, v'nafal al yud gimul Adar, it fell on the 13th of Adar, elosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu hafachat hamazalot, Hashem turned around the mazalot, v'mishadeid et hamarachot, and he messed around with the systems. Right? Very enigmatic and short. Actually, for the Goyin, it's rather lengthy, but not so clear what's going on here. And then he continues, and all the mazalis are against the Jews, and that's why he threw this thing, and so on and so forth. And you can look it up yourself if you're interested. So what's going on over here? So I want to explain as follows. First of all, that the word poor is not translated directly as being a geirul. A poor is a form of lottery, indeed. And in America, people generally call, like a Jewish word for lottery, is a geirul. However, in Eretz Yisrael, and in modern parlance, the word goral does not refer generally to a lottery. It refers to the word, the translation of the word would be destiny. Ma goral shel ze, what is the destiny of this thing or of this person? What is its destiny? And therefore the meaning would be as follows. The literal meaning of a poor is a type of lottery, playing with dice or with various other implements, bones, and different things as a way to divine and to be menachesh the future. And that's only the future, but specifically the future as determined by the stars. The poor is a way of determining optimal days according to the stars, according to the mazalos, and manipulating them as much as possible. That's what a poor is. The poor is this tool, I guess you would call it, with which a person who's in the know, obviously, can manipulate and determine the path and the course of the future according to the way it's written and it's prescribed in the mazalos. A goral is not that. A goral means the destiny. And the meaning of the word, therefore, is hipil pur. He threw one of these lotteries. He played around and did the whole lottery system. Hu hagoral, because that would determine the destiny. So it's two separate words, and it means two separate things that are related to each other. But it's one is a result of the other. He did a poor in order to determine the goral of the Jews. Now, to explain this matter in more depth, we have to go back a drop and talk about mazalos and talk about the difference between Jews and non-Jews. We all know that there's a concept called, the Gemara says, ain mazel li Yisrael. There's no mazel for the Jews. The question is right away, obviously, the most simple question, if you want to ask it in a cute kind of a way, is then why by chasnas and bar mitzvahs do we tell people mazel tov? Generally, we're speaking with Jews, and we're telling them they should have mazel tov, but if there's no mazel li Yisrael, so then why on earth are we wishing people mazel tov? So clearly, there is some kind of a mazel li Yisrael. So to understand it, let's first of all define what the word mazel means. It does not mean luck, as people often think. You know, mazel tov, good luck, congratulations. It doesn't mean congratulations either. What it means is, literally, the word mazal is from the word nozel, lehozil, means lizal, to flow. A mazal is the flow of influence. The word influence, actually, believe it or not, comes to the word flow as well, is related to it, the word fluence. Someone who's fluent in a language means the language flows. So A mazel means the influence, the flow which comes from above, from Shamayim, let's call it, down to either a person or to a nation. And of course, everybody has such a flow. Everybody, without a shefa in Lashon HaKodesh, in Hasidic or Kabbalistic terms, you call it a shefa min Hashamayim. There's a certain flow that comes down to a person, and without which he wouldn't exist. He wouldn't have chayim, he wouldn't have life, he wouldn't have bracha, he wouldn't have anything really with which to function in this world. He must be receiving on a regular, constant basis some sort of a flow, some sort of a hashpa min hashamayim. Sometimes the hashpa is very, very generous, and you see that a person becomes extremely wealthy, who has all sorts of talents, and that's a person who is getting a tremendous shefa. It's called a tremendous shefa from Hashem. He has a wide stream flowing down to him. Sometimes a person is very mitzumtzam. His stream is not so great. Doesn't seem to be so great. It's lacking. It's missing. So everybody has this flow because that's how a person functions in this world. It relates to his tafkid. Sometimes a person's tafkid is to be a specific thing. And so Hashem gives him those talents. That's his flow. He's given certain kishreinus. Everyone in the world has that. Jews, non-Jews, everyone has it. The question is, the difference between Jews and non-Jews is not in the fact whether they have mazel or not, but in whether the mazel is determinant, is the thing that determines their life, or it's can be changed. And where is the mazel coming from? A goy's mazel comes from one place, and a Jew's mazel comes from somewhere else, and that's why it can be changed. To be put simply, a goy has what's called a set mazel. His mazel was written in the stars long ago. It goes according to Teva. It is almost unchangeable. Perhaps, according to great efforts and great tefillah, parts of it can be changed. But essentially, mazel of a goy or mazel of goyish nations is set. And it is what it is. It doesn't get changed. Just like teva is something which is set. Every time you throw a rock up in the air, it's going to fall down because that's part of the force of teva. That's part of the force of gravity. The word teva is milashon tavua. It means to be stamped in, to be pressed into something. A coin is called a matbea because the image and the value of the coin is pressed into it. And it's set. It's established. It's not moving. It's not changing. Teva is the same way. The laws of nature, the laws of Teva are set. And in the system called Teva, there's a system that Hashem uses to run the world on a regular basis. That's called Teva, and that doesn't change. The Teva is going to have its way and it's going to happen the way it is. However, that's all for the 70 nations of the world, the Umay Sa'ilam. They're under Teva. They're each given their individual Sar and Shemayim, like we see, we're all familiar with the Sar of Mitzrayim and the Sar of Bavel. They each have their angel, let's call it, in Shemayim, which is given charge of his nation, and he directs their affairs, but he doesn't have free will. He directs the affairs according to the way Hashem gives him the shefa. Hashem provides him with whatever it is that Hashem wants to give that nation. And then that Sar deals with them. Hashem, so to speak, doesn't even like deal with them directly. He doesn't get involved in their lives that much. That's the nations of the world. The Jews are different. With us, we don't have mazel. What does it mean we don't have mazel? We don't have a Sar in Shemayim that's looking after us. We don't have a particular angel that takes care of us. We don't fit in the whole system, the nations of the world, the way it was divided originally, 70 nations. Each one has their Sar in Shemayim. Each one has their piece of property here on earth, their land. They each have different kaychas that are assigned to them. We, as Jews, are out of that system. In the system of mazel, we don't have a land. In the system of mazel, we certainly don't have a particular sire that takes care of us. We don't exist in the system of mazel. Where do we exist? So this, and the guy points this out in this pasuk, you'll take a look, and very quickly he explains it. When Hashem was talking to Avraham Avinu, and Hashem says to Avraham, Hashem took him outside, right? Now, what does that mean? They were sitting in the living room having a, schmoozing. Where they took him outside? Where were they till then? Now they have to go outside. So Svarim say that he took him outside. He took him outside of the mazolis. Michutz la mazol. The lashon of the Gaon brings down over here precisely is lamaylam in a mazolis. Why? Hashem said, within the world of mazel, within the stars, you don't have a nation. You're not going to have children. You're not going to have Zerah. You're not going to have Yitzchak. You're not going to have Yaakov. The Jews don't exist. They will never exist. However, I'm taking you out of this system, and I am putting you into a different system. This system is not called Teva anymore. Let's call it, just for the sake of argument, the system of Nes. A different Ma'arechet. It's a whole different system. It works on different rules. It doesn't have a Sar. You know who our Sar is? Our boss, our godfather. Our godfather is actually God. The word Elohim sometimes is the Shem Hashem and sometimes not. When it's referring to powers, heavenly powers, Sarim of various nations, doesn't mean a god. It just means a power. The ruler, the koyach that's been given to rule this a particular nation. Klal Yisrael's Elohim is not a separate entity, Hashem Hu Elohim. When we say Hashem Hu Elohim, one of the things that we're declaring is that our power, the one that gives us chias and shefa and day-to-day life and energy, is the Rabbeinu Shlomo himself, unlike all the other nations in the world. And you know what land we have? We don't have a land in the physical world the same as everyone else does. We have Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is Hashem's land. It's his personal, private land. And as long as we're getting along with him, as long as we're going in his derech, and we recognize and appreciate him as our Elohim, we have the right to be here. Golus happens when we remove ourselves from Hashem, and we say, listen, we're not interested. Thank you very much. We don't want you in charge of us. At that point, we get thrown into the big world without Hashem necessarily taking care of us, certainly not in the typical way that he always does. And we are no longer in his land, and we're no longer under his hashkacha, seemingly. Again, we'll get to explain exactly where we are. But it seems as though we're outside of the hashkacha completely, and we are no longer under Hashem's hand. Hashem says Hashem to Avram, in the world of Teva, in that system, I didn't build a place for you. But you know where you have a place? You have a place in a separate system, in my system. In the world of Nes. That's where you exist. And that's where you're going to have children. You have to change his name. But everything about Bnei Yisrael is that we exist at a level of Nes. We should not be existing at all within Teva. The Ramban speaks about this. Many, many Svarim talk about this. We don't live there. That's where everything that happens with us is a Nes. Avram was saved from where Kazdim ben Nes. Yitzchak was, and that came then. Nesim, one after the next. Why is that? Because that's where we live. We don't live in a world of Teva. Again, we're born, it's interesting, because we're born in a world that seems, you know, sort of functions according to Teva. And of course, until we've reached the Madrega, an understanding that really we're beyond Teva, so we live in that world. But we don't actually live in a world that's been stamped and set and doesn't change. We don't live in that world of Teva, Tavua, of established. We live in a world where things can change at a moment's notice. You know why I can change at a moment's notice? Because the boss, the one who provides everything for the entire world, including the world of Teva, he's our boss, he's our father. So he can change something. It's nothing for him. As Rav Chanina ben Daisa said, there's no difference whether oil is burning or vinegar is burning. They're both burning according to the Ratzon Hashem. Right? The Lashon, people sometimes don't, they're not Medayik, the Lashon of Rav Chanina ben Daisa, when he said, he didn't say Misha Omar L'Shemen V'Yadlik, Yomar L'Chaymes V'Yadlik. He didn't say the one that once upon a time told oil to burn, so that same God can now tell vinegar to burn. He didn't say that. He says Misha Yomar L'Shemen V'Yadlik. He says the one who constantly tells oil to burn. And Chanina ben Daisa lived with such a recognition of this that we're talking about, that Hashem runs everything in the world, that by him, when he saw oil burning, it was as much a Pella and as much a Nes as seeing vinegar. He said, well, the reason why oil burns now is not because oil has a teva to burn. That's narishkeit. The reason why oil burns is because Hashem is right now, this minute, currently telling oil to burn. like we spoke about, that it's a, that's the Dvar Hashem, that's the Olam Hashem Dvar Chanitza B'Shamayim. There's a constant Dvar Hashem telling the world to function according to its rules. But most of the world doesn't understand that. Even most Yidden are not in that Madrega to understand, and to really, not just understand, but to live with it, that there's no nace in vinegar burning, or even better said, there's a nace when shemen burns. And therefore, what's the difference if Hashem does a nace of vinegar burning, or he does a nace of shemen burning? It's all the same. We live in a world of nace. As far as I'm concerned, oil burning, it's a nace. Okay, so then Hashem might as well do a nace to let the vinegar burn. What's the difference? That's what he said, Misha Yomer, the one who tells oil to burn, will tell the vinegar to burn. Not the one who told oil to burn. That's the Tfisa Olamit, and the difference between how we function and how the Goyim function. So there's no mazel. That's what it means when it says Ein Mazel Yisrael. It means there's no set mazel. There's a mazel that can change with a tefillah. It can change with a schus. It can change from all sorts of things because we're not stuck in that world. We're in a very malleable, always changeable world because the Ribbono Shel Olam runs our day to day. And nothing is beyond him. And everything that happens is his hand, and that's how we understand it, and that's how we recognize it. Okay, so now we understand the basic concept of what it means, Ein Mazel Yisrael, and what the mazalis are and how they work. I'm going to take a break here, just so that it shouldn't be too long, and then I'll start the next piece.